Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26, and we're going to read one verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter number 26. I'd mentioned back a few months ago that if the Lord would allow me, I'd like to preach on this next time we had communion. And so the Lord's allowed me to be directed in that direction. And so I desire your prayers this morning. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 30. We're going to turn a few different places this morning, but we're going to take our text from this verse. Matthew 26, verse 30. The Bible said, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for letting us be here today, for all the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, for the opportunity to have the baptismal service today, we are so thankful for those that you've saved. And Lord, then through baptism added to the local church, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, not only for those that have been saved here, but at other churches that we've heard about. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to do a work in our midst of saving souls. Lord, we ask that you'd meet with us this morning in the preaching of the Word of God. I pray to be filled with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, unworthy as we are, we ask it not because of anything we've done, but Lord, we plead thy blood and we feel the need of thy help today. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, save some soul. Draw us near unto thyself. And I pray you'd be magnified in all that's said and done. And we come and thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read that verse one more time. The Bible said, Matthew 26 and verse number 30. Said, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. When they had sung an hymn. Daisy May's going to compete with me for a minute. We was good to her when she was down at the house the other day. I don't know. But we love her. Isn't she cute? She is a blessing. She's got to get her bottle, and I don't blame her. I'm hungry, too. So we'll try to remember that. But the title there out of the text, "And when they had sung an hymn." You know, I believe it would be fair to say that it is our custom to conclude the communion service with a hymn. I remember years ago when we were members over at Mountaindale, and Preacher Carl Wilson, of course, he was the pastor here. He was pastor over at Mountaindale and at Antioch all at the same time. But I remember being members over there at Mountaindale, and we'd have communion probably about like we do here a couple of times a year. And when we come to the conclusion of that communion service, He would say, "The Bible says," Matthew 26, 30, "and when they had sung an hymn, they went out," and that's how we would conclude before we left. We wouldn't close in prayer like we do a lot of times, but we would sing a song, and that song would be the conclusion of the communion service. And many of you can remember, it's been done that way as long as we can remember. You know, there are some good customs or traditions or things that we do, some good things that we do. This is a good thing that we do. The example is found right here in the Word of God. And I've heard it quoted many, many times. I've said it myself. That's how we conclude our communion service. We'll say, "And when they'd sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So I've said that many, many times down through the years, but never anything much beyond that. But with the Lord's help today, I want us to look at this little passage of Scripture about the hymn. And I want to just point out a few things, about three things this morning. First of all, I think we need to see the setting of the hymn. It said in verse number 30, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, have you ever heard about somebody that just open up the Bible randomly and put their finger on a passage of Scripture, and whatever that was, for whatever reason, they'll read that and get something out of it? Well, if we were to do that, if you didn't know the setting here, and you just open up your Bible and placed your finger on that verse and found it, it wouldn't be like if you put your finger on John 3:16. The Bible said over there, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You could get a year's worth of preaching out of that one verse. And what a great statement that is. Or if you turn to Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." What a great statement that is. And look how much you could gain just from those two verses by way of example. But if we did that here and we turned, well, we might not understand what it's talking about unless we had some background or the setting that's involved here to really get the message. And so we want to do that first of all this morning. What is happening in Matthew chapter number 26 is the evening of the Jewish Passover. Now, the Jews, they start their day, we start at midnight. We say that's the new day, but the Jewish people, they start at 6 o'clock or at sundown. And their day goes from sundown to sundown. And so when we come to Matthew chapter number 26, it is the evening of the Passover. It is the night before the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross and die there on the cross for our sins. Now, if you look back a few verses, look back at verse number 17 in this chapter. We're going to read a few verses over there just to sort of get the setting that is taking place. What happened on that Passover evening? The Bible said in Matthew 26 and verse number 17, it said, Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And He said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, He sat down with the 12. And so that's what we have going on in Matthew chapter number 26. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is in the upper room with His 12 disciples. Now, later on, Judas is going to leave. Judas really wasn't saved. He had never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he leaves the setting there. He leaves the scene. And he goes out and betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might be here this morning seated together as a disciple, but you really might not be saved in your heart. You might be like Judas. You might look the part on the outside, but on the inside, there's something completely different going on. That's how it was with Judas Iscariot. But when they sat down to begin with, all of them were there together, and they were there to celebrate, to eat the Passover meal. And that's what they did on this night. Now, the Jews had been keeping the Passover for 1500 some years at this time. Can you imagine something going on for that long of a period of time? No matter if they were in the land, out of the land, Jews somewhere in all of those centuries, every year they would get together and they would celebrate, they would eat a Passover meal all together as a family at the same time. And what they were doing when they got together to eat the Passover, what that is remembering how the Lord delivered the Egyptians or the Israelites out of Egypt. You remember they were down there in bondage, and so the Passover was to remember that great thing that God had done for them, and that they had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Boy, we sang some good songs this morning that spoke to my heart. It's good to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so that's what they did. They got together and they said, remember what God did for us when He delivered us out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And so that's what's going on in Matthew 26. Now, this particular Passover meal, you have to remember in your mind that Jews all over at the same time, on the same evening, they were all celebrating the Passover in basically the same way. Because this has been done for hundreds of centuries. But this particular Passover meal, there was something different from all the rest. There's something new that's going to take place at this Passover meal. Now let's skip on down to verse number 26. In verses 21 through 25, Judas, he goes out. He's going to betray the Lord, and the Lord tells him that. But after Judas goes out, verse number 26, the Bible said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, He does something different that's ever been done before. And He even makes reference here in verse number 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament. There's something new that the Lord has instituted here, and it's what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. That's a Bible name, a scriptural name. We call it communion. That's a Bible name. That's a scriptural name. And what they have just participated in, they have received in picture what the Lord Jesus Christ in just a few hours is going to go out and do in person. He is going to give His body and shed His blood so that you and I and the disciples and all the millions and millions of saints of God down through the years, so that they could be saved and die and go to heaven, or go to heaven when they die. And so that's what He does in these verses. Now, look after verse number 30. We're talking about the setting of this hymn. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So they sing a hymn. They sing a song together. And then they go out into the Mount of Olives. Now, if you study about this, what they did at the Mount of Olives, the Old Testament priest, that's where he would go out of the city and his assistants there. And they would sacrifice the red heifer in that area of the Mount of Olives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the fulfillment of what took place in the Old Testament. So that's what they're getting ready to do. He's getting ready to go out into the Mount of Olives. And so verse 31 said, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now look what he said in verse 32. But after I am risen again. Boy, I like that, don't you? He said, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And so what we see here, this singing of the hymn that took place, it is in a setting of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's ever been a gospel song, I believe that's a gospel song, don't you? I mean, he's talking about, I'm going to give my body, I'm going to give my blood, I'm going to die for you upon the cross of Calvary. And after they sing that song, he reminds them, he says, you're going to be offended, you're going to all forsake me tonight. He's, they didn't know what was going to happen, but he did. And I'll tell you, that'd sort of be a dark cloud over that meeting there, wouldn't it? What do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? We're all going to forsake you. We're all going to be scattered before the night's over. But he said, but when I'm risen again, when I'm risen again, and they didn't understand it then, but they'd understand in a few days. When I'm risen again, he said, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what saves souls from dying and going to hell, is believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God, this is a gospel hymn. It's a gospel song that they sing, and that's the setting of it. Now, second of all, I want to point out the source of it. The source of it. I got studying about this. There's a lot of meaning in verse number 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles. Keep your place here, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 81. Notice in verse 30 it said, and when they had sung an hymn, there was a specific hymn that they sang on that night. The Jewish people, they have a name for it. It's called the Hallel. H-A-L-L-E-L-L. That's what the Jewish people call this song. Now, it's referenced to in Psalms chapter number 81. And verse number 1, we're going to read down through about 5 verses here. But notice what the Word of God says. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow upon the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel. He's saying this was a law for the children of God. This was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. You know what the Lord did for the children of Israel? When he brought them out of Egypt, he gave them a song. And when God brings you out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, I'm telling you, he'll give you a song to sing. And God gave them a song to sing. Now, turn over in your Bibles to Psalms 113. Psalms 113. Now, the Jewish Hallel is Psalms 113, chapter 113 through chapter 118. And those chapters there, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, those 6 chapters there, they comprise what the Jews had sung over and over at the Passover for centuries upon centuries. And so when it said, and when they had sung an hymn, it was this passage of Scripture that they were singing on that night. Now, the Hallel, I looked up and studied about that. It was a hymn of thanksgiving and joy for divine redemption. That's what it was. A hymn of thanksgiving and joy for divine redemption. Remembering what God had done for them in the past. And as I was studying and thinking about that, I just wondered to myself, I wonder how they sang that hymn. Wouldn't you like to see that? Maybe when we get to heaven, God will have something like instant replay. Wouldn't that be good? I believe the Lord will. I believe He'll let us see how that was. And I just got to thinking in my mind, I wonder how they sang that hymn. They done it. All of them are Jewish. They no doubt had it memorized like many of us have our great hymns memorized. I wonder how they sung it on that night. I wonder if they sang that hymn sort of like we do sometimes, just sort of a rote. We know this. It doesn't have very much meaning to it. Isn't that how we sing sometimes? Or I wonder if when they sang that hymn on that night, if there was a holy anticipation that something great was getting ready to take place. I believe if we read all of Matthew 26 and the passage of Scripture in John and Luke and Mark, I believe that those disciples would have had some sense that something major was getting ready to take place. And just maybe on that night, they really paid attention to the words that they were singing. But I know that the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was getting ready to take place. And I know as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself sang that hymn on that night, that He knew all about the hymn, and He knew all about the future, and He knew all about what was getting ready to take place. And I read over this yesterday, and boy, what a blessing it all is. I don't have time to read or refer to all of it, but just Psalms 113, verse 1. Now you think in your mind, Jesus Christ is getting ready to go out into the garden and be betrayed, be crucified, be tortured. But they sing this psalm, this hymn, verse 113, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He's getting ready to have the darkest night of his life. And he said, well, to praise the Lord. I read down through here. Look at Psalms 114. I'm just going to pick out a few things and point it out. When they got to Psalms 114, verse 1, as they sang that hymn, they sang, when Israel went out of Egypt, this is the Passover we're talking about. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ sang that hymn? You know he was there when that happened. Praise the Lord. You know a song will mean more to you if you was there when it happened. If you can see him redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You was there when it happened. Boy, it'll mean a whole lot more to you. You ever been somewhere and sang a song? And I mean, God put the song down in your heart. And as somebody said last night, the song sang you. I went down to Sandy Creek Baptist Church last winter into a history class. And we went into the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. There's a little old log church building out there, and we had class in there. And that church was built when the second president of the United States was in office. That's when that log church was built. One room church. We sat in there around a little old potbelly stove and learned about church history and how all the great things God had done for His people down through the years. And boy, I could just imagine in my mind the saints of God coming together, and there's all them preachers in there. There's probably 35, 40 of us, and we had class all day long. We got done at the end of that day, and I said, and I hadn't said anything because I was just a student and I was there learning, but I said, you fellas think it'd be all right before we left if we could sing a stanza of Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. That's an old song. Wonder how many times that song had been sung in that church. And I'm telling you, somebody stood up and led out real good, and all them men of God got together and got to singing that old song. I'm telling you, buddy, the Holy Ghost of God come down in our midst, and it was good, and it was real. And if God's real in your heart, it's going to mean more to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was there when the water was driven back. And I'm sure in His mind He could remember more than all the rest of them what had happened on that night. Boy, I like that. Look at chapter 116, verses 1 through 4. Remember, the Lord knows what's getting ready to happen. And He said in verse number 1, they sang together on that night, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Glory to God. He said, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, will I call unto Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You know where the Lord's getting ready to go to? Just in a short period of time. After singing that hymn, he's getting ready to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to contemplate, and there's going to be a great conflict in his soul. Not that he didn't want or was not willing to go to the cross, but that awful thought of being made sin for you and I. The Bible said that there in the garden, that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But you know what he knew? He knew when he called out in prayer to God his Father that the Lord heard his prayer and that the Lord is going to deliver him. You say, boy, I don't understand all that. I don't understand all of it either. But I'm glad when the Lord Jesus prays that his prayers are always heard. And he knew. Don't you know what an encouragement to his soul that would have been? Look in chapter 118, verses 5 and 6. He said this, they sang, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Well, they's going to try him. And they's going to strip him of his garments. And they's going to give him lashes upon his back until his visage was so marred that he was undiscernible as a human being. They lashed upon his back until his bowels fell out of his back. They spat upon him. And they put a crown of thorns upon him. And they led him out to Calvary and they crucified him. They nailed him to the cross. They hung him there between heaven and earth, and people came by and mocked and spat upon him and said, if he's the Son of God, why don't he call the angels to come and get him down? That's what man could do unto him. But I'm telling you what, this morning, it was only for a short time. It's only for a short time. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And then look over in verse number 22, what they sang on that night. He said, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Oh, they didn't want him, but he's still the headstone. Look what it said. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Boy, I like that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I like that. Look back in verse number 17. I missed that. Look what they said. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And then that verse 24 said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. You know what that's talking about? When he said, this is the day, we sing, there's a song. Little children, they memorize this verse. We say that sometimes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But you know, as the Lord Jesus sang that hymn on that night, do you know what that is specifically talking about? It was the day, the Passover day, when Jesus Christ would go to the cross and die for our sins. Boy, what a great day. This is the day. Jesus is singing this hymn. This is the day. Oh, the prophets has talked about it, preached about it. The Psalms has been sung about it. Moses pointed to it, and all of them was looking for it. And they come down to that night, and Jesus said, this is the day. This is the day. This is going to change everything. The devil's going to be defeated. The atonement is the redemption's going to, price is going to be paid. This is the day. that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's the source of that psalm. That's what they sang on that night. Now, I want you to turn from there to Exodus chapter number 12. And I'm going to show you one more thing, and I'll be done. So we have already that we've seen this morning. There's the setting of the hymn, and then there's the source of the hymn. They sang Psalms 113 through verse chapter 118. But I want to show you, last of all, there's the significance of the hymn. Now, verse number 30 of Matthew 26 said, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, the Jewish tradition was to sing that hymn in two parts. They would sing chapter 113 through 115 early in the meal. And then the last thing that they would do after the last cup of the Passover meal, they would sing Psalms 116 through chapter 118, and that would be at the conclusion of the Passover feast. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ had done that, that would have put that hymn before the Lord's Supper. It had been between verses 20 and verse 25, somewhere around in there. Somewhere after Judas going out. If he would have followed Jewish tradition, that is when they would have sang that hymn. But Jesus Christ put the song at the end of the new covenant, not at the end of the old. He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." We're going to do things a little bit different tonight. Fellas, things is getting ready to change. And so he put that song at the end of the Lord's Supper, not at the end of the Passover. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." It's what the Lord Jesus said. You remember what John said about him, John the Baptist? Boy, I like old John. John, when he seen the Lord Jesus coming, John chapter 1, verse 29, looked down the road. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb, the Passover is all to do about the sacrifice and the application of the blood of the Lamb. But when he seen the Lord Jesus coming down the road, he said, "Behold, the Lamb," capital L-A-M-B. You know, that's first time in the whole Word of God that the word Lamb is in capital letters. "Behold, the Lamb of God." 1 Corinthians 5:7 said, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now I want you to see something here in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 21 down through verse number 24. And I want to show you something about this Passover. It said in Exodus chapter number 12, there's something significantly different here that I want to point out. Verse number 21, the Bible said, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." God told him exactly what to do. And he said, "You need to do that exactly as I've said. I want you to do this the same way every year. And Jews had done that Passover the same way, year after year. Verse 24, ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. God said, I want you to always be mindful that you do this exactly like I've said. But I want to point out in verse number 22, the Bible said, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. Now notice this. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. God said, when you observe this service, this Passover meal, you go in, after you've applied the blood, you go through the door, and you don't come back out until the morning. And that's how the Jews had celebrated the Passover. It was against their teaching and their tradition and the Word of God that they would go in the house, and when they were done with the Passover, they would not go back out until the morning time, because the destroyer was going to come through the land. And he was going to pass over the doors that had the blood applied. And those that didn't have the blood applied, those that were not inside the protection of the blood, they had died on that night. The firstborn had died on that night. If you read Exodus chapter 12, chapter number 13, I believe the Israelites could hear the screams of the Egyptian as they awoke and went through the night and found the firstborn in every household had died on that night. But they were safe because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God said, go in. Don't come out until the morning. But in Matthew 26 and verse number 30, the last part of that verse is very different. It said, and when they had sung an hymn, did you notice what they did? They went out into the Mount of Olives. They didn't stay in on that night like the Jews had done for 1,500 years. The Word of God said they went out into the Mount of Olives. Aren't you glad Jesus went out instead of staying in? Aren't you glad He went out on that night instead of staying in? Oh, if He'd have stayed in according to Jewish tradition, you and I wouldn't have any hope of heaven this morning. But He went out on that night. He went out that was contrary to the way that things had normally been done. And He went out knowing that He's going to be betrayed by one of His own. He went out knowing that He's going to be arrested. He went out knowing that He's going to be tried and found guilty, although He had never done anything wrong. He went out knowing that He was going to be spat upon and cursed and mocked and beaten and a crown of thorns upon His head, and He's going to be whipped and He's going to be crucified and He's going to die there upon the cross of Calvary, and worst of all, that He's going to be made sin for you and I. He went out knowing every bit of that. Boy, what a great example that is for you and I this morning. What a great pattern for us. You know, most people are satisfied just to stay in. We'd just be satisfied to stay in, watch TV, do whatever we do. We're just satisfied, a lot of people, just to stay in and hope that we'll make it, to have hope that that'll be good enough. And you know, a lot of people's got just enough religion. They want just enough of Jesus Christ that they won't die and go to hell. But buddy, they don't want nothing else. If that's the kind of religion I had, I'd seriously consider whether or not I'd ever been saved. Oh yeah, I don't want to die and go to hell, but do anything else for God? No, sir. I'm not interested in that, but our example is to go out. The Bible said in Matthew 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go out. He told the disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we are to go out knowing what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But you know what? We're not only to go out, we're to go out with the song upon our heart. Ephesians 5:18 said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that's the difference between the children of God and the children of this world. You and I can go out knowing that it's going to be hard and it's going to be rough. We can go out with a song upon our heart, knowing just like the Lord Jesus did. He's told us in His Word that it's not going to be a flowery bed of ease, but there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be troubles. Thank God underneath are the everlasting arms. We can go out with a song upon our heart. I thought about this, you know, they could have went out many different ways. When they got done, and they're getting ready to go out, and the Lord knows what's getting ready to take place, I guess they could have shook hands and hugged each other's neck. That's not what they did. They sang an hymn. When God's people can sing a song, that shows the world that we've got hope, no matter what tomorrow might bring. That shows that we've got a hope beyond this world when we can go out in dark circumstances and we can still sing a song and go out into a lost and dying world that's cursed with sin. They could have went out many, many different ways, but the way they went out, they sung an hymn and they went out into the Mount of Olives. It's what the Word of God says. And those last few verses in Psalms 118, I'm just going to read a couple of them. It said, now, Psalms 118, this is the last stanza of the last verse. They said, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Give it to God and don't take it back. They're singing about sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 28, Thou art my God, I will praise Thee. They're singing a song of praise. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. Verse 29 said, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Boy, I like that. Our songs are songs of forever. That famous baseball player, Mariano Rivera, retired this week. I watched a little bit of that. He had pitched for the Yankees for 19 plus years. It was very emotional on the night that he went out there and he pitched his last pitch in Yankee Stadium. And a couple of his friends came out and relieved him. And that was the end of his career. And I watched that. And when Andy Pettit came up to him and got the ball out of his hands, old Mariano Rivera, he wrapped his arms around Andy Pettit, that other pitcher, and he stood there and bawled like a baby. Cried. You know what? Why is he crying? That's the end. That's the end of that man's great career and all his. I mean, it's over. It's over as far as that part of his life. They could hug each other's neck. They could cry. They could go through and shake hands. But you know what they couldn't do? They couldn't sing a song. But the children of God can come down to the last mile. The children of God can go out to the graveside. And we can put our friends and our family and our loved ones down in the ground. And we'll not touch them as far as that body's concerned no more. But we can put the dirt on the grave there and we can stand back and we can say, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, we've got forever songs. Has anybody got anything to compare to that? We've got forever songs. We're going to sing here, and praise God, we're going to sing over there. We're going to sing here until He come. Until He come. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read that in a little bit. We're going to sing over there. All the nations and all the tongues are going to sing together. Let me ask you in closing this morning, do you have a song? You have a song, I mean a real song, that God has put down in your heart. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, yes, I was baptized one time. I'm talking about, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been redeemed? Have you ever been made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a song that the Lord has put in your heart? You better have one. You better be able to really sing that song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you got a song. Have you lost your song? A lot of people's lost their song. Yeah, I used to have the joy of the Lord in my heart and in my life, but it's been a long time. Why don't you get that back? The Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're getting ready to have the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We're to examine ourselves. Can you sing a song as we go out this morning and really mean it? Really sing it like it ought to be sung? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.